Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Morning. It's wonderful to have you. My name is Elena and I'm part of the team here leading New Life. And actually my job encompasses all things aged 0 to 17 at the moment, and it's a real joy. In fact, if you turned up to church on Friday night, obviously if you're not a DBS checked adult, we wouldn't have let you in. But if you turned up to church on Friday night, you would have found me in the orange room with a group of my favourite teenagers singing to the top of my lungs Taylor Swift. And we were having a great time. And in the other room, in the green room and in the garden, was another group of my favourite teenagers playing football and foosball and basketball and all sorts of fun things and eating copious amounts of pizza. And we had the best time. Our young people are a gift to this church. Just want to really quickly say that. Our church would be far worse off if we didn't have them. So please encourage them and love on them. This is from the woman that said she'd never do youth work again. And I find myself absolutely in love with our young people. It's a real privilege. So we are doing a series at the minute called Church. And last week, Dina brought body to us. She spoke to us about body. We're all in this together. I could do the High School Musical dance because I know it off by heart, but I'm not going to today. Not today. Maybe we'll save that for a family service or something. And this week, I'm speaking to us on building. Really exciting, speaking about the building this morning. So before we dive straight into it, we're going to pray, and then I will read to us from the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you that you already have gone before. You are already with us. And Lord God, I just pray that as we open up our hearts and our ears, that we will be sensitive to your spirit, that each one of us would leave this place better and changed for your goodness this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Great. So I don't know if Jo knew what I was preaching on this morning, but she preach from a similar Bible passage, so I'm still going to read it to you because it's a good one. So it's from the book of 1 Peter, if you have your Bible with you. If you've got your phone, you just keep scrolling down towards the bottom. If you've got a Bible, it's in sort of the back fifth of the Bible in the New Testament. It's 1 Peter 2, verse 4 we're starting at. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God as precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So, you already know we're talking about buildings this morning. Buildings are important. We need them. They house us. They show us certain things. And actually, a lot of buildings hold significance to us for different reasons. And you might see a building and it might conjure a certain thought or memory. And so I'm going to show you a few buildings and see what happens. Okay, so the first building coming up on the screen is, this is my secondary school. Now, this may not conjure up any thoughts or feelings to you, but think about your own school. I couldn't put 200 different schools up on the screen. But this is the secondary school I went to. It was called Pope Pius when I was there. St. Pius X Catholic High School. What does this conjure up for me? Not great things. I can smell the canteen. I can feel the gritty feeling under my feet when I had to do PE in the sports hall. I remember the teachers that made a difference. I remember the teachers I loved. My favourite teacher was actually my RE teacher. His name was Mr. Murphy, and he was a spirit-filled Catholic, and he was the most wonderful man I've ever met, and he was fabulous. And I remember walking into his class one day. He was playing his guitar, singing in tongues, which I didn't know Catholics could do. And he was singing in tongues, and I walked in, and he went, "Elena, you're a spirit-filled Christian," and I'm 14, dying inside. And I'm like, "Why have you just outed me in front of all of my friends?" And he was like, "Sing in tongues with me." I was like, "Absolutely not, Mr. Murphy," and walked back out. But your school experience, your school building will conjure up certain memories for you. Some of them may be fresher than others, but you'll still have thoughts and feelings around it. Okay, next building. This is Chatsworth House. This is a stately home. It's a stately home. It's very posh. I've never actually been inside it, but I've walked around it. In fact, this week, Dan took me away for a couple of days for my birthday, and he took me to Bakewell, which is actually not super close to Chatsworth. And he said, on the second day of our day away, he said, "Elena, I've got a lovely birthday treat for you." I thought, oh, nice. Massage, spa, pedicure. No, let's go for a walk. So I was like, great, let's go for a walk. So we did. We walked from Bakewell to Chatsworth and round in a circular way back to Bakewell again. And we got to Chatsworth and I looked at this house. I thought, wow, this is an expensive house. Who lives here? And so Dan starts going on about the history of it and I don't remember any of it. But my favourite part of our walk was not the fact that I got pelted with rain and it was freezing and I ended up in a field with cows, and I'm a bit nervous of cows if I'm in the same field with them, but was the fact that when we were climbing over one of the walls, you know, you have to climb over walls into fields. If you're an avid walker, you'll understand. If you're not, don't worry about it. And Dan goes, "Watch your step, Elena. There's lots of mud everywhere, so follow me." So I was like, "Yeah, sure, Dan, no problem." And Dan steps over, he says, "I'm going to jump onto this rock." Jumps onto a rock and goes, "Oops, that's not a rock, that's a cow pat." So safe to say, I didn't follow Dan that day. But we got completely soaked. However, the grounds of Chatsworth are absolutely gorgeous. The building conjures up something of like expense and a bit royal and a bit fancy. I can't imagine walking into Chatsworth in my mud-soaked walking leggings and my boots and my coat with my hair dripping down my face and being like, "Table for two?" I don't even know if they do like food there, but imagine. Okay, next one. Meadow Hall. Some of you are going to look at this building and go, yes. And there is nothing better to me than walking round Meadow Hall, slightly too warm, a little bit sweaty. It's all starting to get a bit smelly in there. Getting caught behind slow walkers and walking into shops and spending far too much money on probably things I don't need and having the best day ever. Or some of you will use its affectionate nickname of Meadow Hell. And it's the last place you would want to spend a day out. But when you see that building, it's pretty well known, especially in the north of England. It's pretty well known, and it conjures up different thoughts and memories. I remember going there as a teenager and just hanging out with like £10 to spend for the day and having to ration my £10 out. Do I want food, or do I want to buy a bath bomb from Lush? Like, that was the sort of predicament I would find myself in. And now as an adult, I'm in and out as quick as I can. Definitely don't go on a Saturday, and do not go during the Christmas holidays. Last big building to show you is Lincoln Cathedral. We live like an hour away from Lincoln Cathedral. It's absolutely beautiful. Dan told me, and you'll find that Dan is like my historical like knowledge person. I don't know much historical knowledge, but Dan does. He told me that when Lincoln Cathedral was built, it became the tallest building in the world, just overtaking the pyramids of Giza. He's nodding at me. imagine. They built this building because they wanted to conjure up something of hugeness, massiveness, great big massive building, because they wanted to show something of the grandeur of God, I think, as they built it. And even if you go today, we went a few weeks ago, and you walk into it, and as you walk in, there's just a normal sized doorway, and you walk in, it's just like, it's humongous. And stained glass windows everywhere that apparently all tell stories. And Dan stood and talked to one of the people that work there. I don't know their correct titles. But he stood and talked to one of them for ages about this one stained glass window. And I was like, you've got too much time in your hands, Daniel. But it's absolutely stunning. And literally, bells and smells. They use the incense. They've got the bells ringing. This place is meant to make you feel small to show you the bigness of God. Okay, this is the last picture. New Life Church. What does it make you think? When you look at this building, you're going to have different views, different thoughts, different things conjured up within you of what this building is to you. Now, you might think about, and now because you're here, I'm assuming you have positive feelings. You might not. But I'm assuming you do. However, what does this building symbolize to our community? When someone from our community drives past or walks past, it's a very busy junction out there, what do they think? I tell you, when the lady that I used to go and get my nails done from, she said that she used to drive past here and she thought it was a washing machine warehouse. Because, you know, when we used to have, if you were here a while ago, the orange and blue logo that was stuck to the front of church, she thought that was a Hot Point logo. And she assumed that we were a washing machine warehouse. And so when I said to her, no, I work there. And she went, but I thought you worked with children, not washing machines. I was like, well, you need a washing machine to work with children. But I sort of explained it to her. And she was like, I have lived in Scunthorpe for 30 years. Had no idea that that was a church. Isn't that interesting? I just assumed, wrongly, that everybody would know that this is a church building. Our building is a symbol to our community, good or bad, or indifferent. Our community that live around us, all of our neighbours down Brumby Wood, all the neighbours up Rowland Road and Cottage Beck and down Ashby Road, they all look at this building and it conjures something up for them. What does this building symbolise to our community? And here's the crazy thing for so many people. They associate the church with the physical building. This building, to many people, is the church. And so they look at it and their association with this building, to them, sort of leads them to some sort of connection with Jesus. And I wonder what that is for people. See, don't get me wrong, our building is super important. We are so grateful to have a building like this. We own a building like this, that we're not having to rock up to a school hall at 7 a.m. every Sunday to set out chairs, to set up PA equipment, for everybody to come and have church, and then having to pack it all down and store it in like somebody's back garden. We get a building where you rock up on a Sunday, it's ready. This is here, it is ready. But how we look after this building is super important. How we care for this building is important, because as soon as somebody walks in, it says something to them about what we think about what we own, and it says something to them about what we think about God. Now, I'm not saying that we go down the line of Lincoln Cathedral and we go high, mighty, big, let's build a super, super tower in Scunthorpe that the whole of Lincolnshire can see. I'm not saying that, because I don't know about you, but I'd rather spend our money on like investing in our community than investing into a building. But we do need to look after our building. So that's why you see people painting the green room, having plastered it and made it look nice, so that when people walk in, when our children are in there on a Sunday morning, it's a better place to be. Do we have a long way still to go? Yes, we do. But we can only get there because we together are making our building a better place. Our building houses the church. But this building symbolises to our community something of who God is, and symbolises to our community something of who we are to them. Can we trust these people? Because do they look after the very thing that belongs to them? When we walk in, and Dina mentioned it last week, when we walk in and use the toilets, are the toilets clean and a nice place to go? Or are we sat there thinking, I'd rather not sit down? We've all been to those sorts of toilets. How do we look after this place? How do we care for the very bricks and mortar which we use that houses the church? It's a privilege to have a building like this. There are churches, there are gatherings of churches across the world that would do anything to have a building where they get to call it their home, where they get to come and celebrate and worship Jesus safely, and this belongs to us. Nobody can just walk in and go, everybody out. No, no, this belongs to us. And so how do we care for what we have? That's going to look different. That there are different things that might happen. You might look at our building and go, but Elena, you don't understand. I bet you I do. You don't understand, if we had an extra room here, or if we just did this here, or if we did that, our building would be better. Listen, I've done kids ministry in those back rooms for the last 7 years and go, I know there's a few things we could do with extra. It would be great to have an extra room on the building. It would be great to have a false ceiling in that room to help with the echo. It would be great to have X, Y, and Z. But this is what we have. And we need to do the best with what we have to care for it and look after it. So that when our community walk in, when they look at our building, what do they see? They see a group of people who care for the things that they have, and it shows them something of who they believe God is. But most importantly, rather than what we do in this building, who uses our building, and all those things are important, and we work hard to make sure that everything that comes through this building is honouring of God. But more importantly than that, who this building houses is what is important. Because this building could be used for anything. We could sell this building off, and it could be used as a nightclub, as one of the churches in town that happened to them. This building could be sold off, and it could be turned, knocked down and turned into houses. But who this building houses matters to us. Because although in one sense it's just bricks and mortar, because we walk into this place with the Son of God as our Lord and Saviour, this becomes a holy place because we are in it. And the building brings together the church. We are the church. I want to read a quote to you. There's a book I've been reading. I'm trying really hard to read more books. I found it really hard after having Abigail to read books. But now she's getting a bit older, I'm finding less excuses that work. So I've been trying to read more books, trying to read one a month. I'm so far on three. Don't count how many months we're in this year. But this book is called The Liturgy of the Ordinary, and this is the quote. A local congregation, a parish, is our small concrete entry into the universal church. It's the basic unit of Christian community and the place where we encounter God in word and sacrament. The body of Christ, ancient global Catholic, is only known, loved, and served through the gritty reality of our local context. We, the church, are brought together in a building. We're brought together because of our love of Jesus. If you look around this room, there's many people that you probably would have never, ever come across had it not been for their love of Jesus and their bringing together in this building. And that would be a shame. There are people that I have met because they come here into this building that have enriched and enlightened my life. And hopefully I've given away a few good things too for other people. But if we weren't here together, we probably wouldn't have rubbed shoulders or met each other. And so we have been brought together here in a concrete building, or brick, or I'm not an architect, in a material building where we can serve Jesus together, and it says something to our community. There's a reason why we don't ascend to a high temple out of the reach of anyone and anything anymore, and we serve Jesus on the ground, surrounded by community. And although I am the church, so we like this very individual Jesus stuff, and I'm cool with it because I like it. But although I am the church, right, and that's right, and you are the church, individually, you are the church, and individually, I am the church, until we become the church, we lose something. Until we become the church, we lose our effectiveness. We are enhanced when we come together, when we are the church. When the Bible talks about you are the church, it's a plural you. We don't get it very well in English language because we literally have like one word for you. But it's literally saying you, the church. It's not saying you, Dina, you're the church and all of us are just like tiptoeing behind. No, no, no. It's saying you, we are the church of Jesus Christ. And in our togetherness, we are more effective. In our coming together, in our being one people, we are more effective for our community, for our world, and for what Jesus is actually wanting us to do. And I'm not taking away from the fact that individually we are really important. As individuals, there is something only you can bring to your world that I can't bring. There's something I can bring to my world that you can't bring. And in that, there is strength. But imagine when you bring all those pieces together and suddenly, I remember being part of, like, in youth ministry, they like using really big visual aids. And I thought about it and then was like, I'd rather not get messy today. Not like physically messy. But basically, they gave each young person a jigsaw piece when we walked in. And they were like, that is your jigsaw piece. You might know where I'm going with this. And we were all like, oh, this is my jigsaw piece. They was like, look after it. Keep it safe. That jigsaw piece is really important. Because without that jigsaw piece, the whole picture doesn't work. But now we have to bring it all together. And then there was a bit of fiddling and fighting and young people pushing each other over. And that's where my piece goes. No, that's where my piece goes. And I'm stood there with like a blue piece going, well, it goes somewhere in the sky. And I just hung back and waited. But until all of our pieces come together, the whole picture isn't there. And Jesus didn't just come down to earth to die for you. He came down to earth to die for us as a whole, as a whole community. He wasn't just like, this is just for you. And sometimes when we only focus on what is it about me, what's for me, we lose something of the bigness of who God is and what he is calling us to, what he is calling this community to. So we are the church. Your body is a temple. The Bible tells us your body is a temple. You house something of who Jesus is, and we should look after our bodies the best that we can and do the best with them that we can do. But when they come together, we become the church. We become the church of Jesus Christ. We are enhanced in our togetherness. There's another quote I'd like to read to you from this book I was reading. It was very good. If you want to read it, you can ask me, but you have to fight Dan first. So it says this: we do not know the Messiah solely through the red letters in the gospel texts. We know him in his fullness because we are joined to him in his body, the church. In this joining, we do not lose our individuality or our individual stories of conversion and encounter with Christ. Instead, our own small stories are wrapped up in the story of all the believers throughout time, which are together part of the eternal story of Christ. My story on its own is important. Then our story together enhances something of who God is. But then it doesn't just stop there. This church, this gathering of believers, is part of a worldwide historical gathering of believers who have stood. There will be thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers of Jesus stood today in churches, in gatherings, in fields, in people's houses, worshiping Jesus. Because we are the global church and we represent something of who Jesus is. And that does mean that we've got to get ourselves together and we've got to sort ourselves out sometimes. We've got to give ourselves a bit of a kick up the backside sometimes, because everything that we do represents who Jesus is. Leslie Newbegin, a missionary, says this: none of us can be made whole till we are made whole together. And as we, as followers of Jesus, we come together in gathered community. And what a beautiful thing that we can gather together on a Sunday morning or a Friday night or whenever we're coming together. And as we come together, something of you brings wholeness to me. And something of me brings wholeness of you. And something of KD brings wholeness to Dan. And something of Dan brings... And we go round and we become better followers of Jesus because of the people around us. We become more like him. Jesus didn't do his journey alone. There were portions of his journey he went and did alone. But Jesus literally walked with 12 at least other men for 3 years on just a big long hike together. They did life together. And each of us in our individuality and the different things that we bring, when we come together, it creates something beautiful. And so I'm going to show you a picture now. And if you've ever been walking through the countryside, that's the word, you'll see, hey, you've lived in a town for too long now. You'll see walls like this everywhere, and none of them are cemented together. And it's wild. But if you try and push it over, no, it's not going anywhere. This wall is sturdy and it's standing. And we're just looking at a portion of that wall. And each brick, each stone is totally different from the other. And they've all got different shapes and sizes. And they're all different depths and clevernesses and whatever. Like, I'm talking about people now. We're different. And yet, our Father God put us all together perfectly, and we've created the part of the wall that is New Life Church.
Yeah, really good.
And we're connected to another part of the wall, which is Scunthorpe Baptist Church, or Connect Church, as it's called now. And we're connected to another part of the wall, which is the next church, and the whole church, the global church, is connected to each other with all of our differences and all of the things that we do different. And some churches, I've got a more high like liturgy and have special robes that they wear, and some churches you rock up to church in a dress and trainers and everybody thinks it's cool, and we're all part of church together. In our differences we are made strong, in our uniqueness we are made better, but in our togetherness we enhance something of who Jesus is in its uniqueness. It fits the body of believers. It fits into the body of believers to create more of who he is, more of who God is. Our building could be anything, as I've said, but yet it is set apart to house the priesthood of believers. That's me and you, built on the cornerstone. That's Jesus Christ. And we could go and gather anywhere and do anything. And we would be a priesthood of believers, called, set apart, wanted by him, built on the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. And because we are built on him, we will not stumble. We will not fall. Instead, we are called to the greatness that God is calling out of his church. And this isn't Dina's church. This isn't a church that belongs to Scunthorpe. This is the church of Jesus Christ and only belongs to him. And when we come together as followers of Jesus, as a body, as a building, as a group together, we create something that lasts, that is bigger than any of us could imagine. These walls have been up for a long time. And Dan was telling me, my resident historian, that they're worried about the fact that there are people that don't know how to build walls like this anymore. Because it's been going on for so long, and people have lost the art of building these walls because they've tried to do things differently, and they want to be more efficient. Well, let's not, in our efficiency and our want for speed and want for big and better, lose something of the creativity and the originality that only Jesus can create. So I'm going to invite the band. They're going to come in worship and we're going to have communion together. But my challenge to myself and to you today is twofold. And the first one is this. How are we caring for our physical building? The very place that we call church. Abigail gets up in the morning and she goes, are we going to church today? It's not wrong. This is our church building. This is the building that houses the church. But how are we going to look after this? How do we care for this? And I'm not saying, you know, if suddenly somebody donated us like £5 million, then yes, let's build and let's do and let's, oh, it's so exciting. But actually, what we've got is this. What a privilege that this is what we have. So how do we care for and look after this building so that when somebody walks past, one, they know it's church, they know the believers are housed here, and two, when they walk into this building, they sense something of who God is because we have cared for and looked after the very thing he's gifted us. And the second challenge is to us, the church, the gathered believers, that we would be people that reflect and show who Jesus is in our lives to everyone around us, but also that we would be people that would gather together, would see the importance of the gathered community of church, and together we would show our world more of who Jesus is. Let me pray and then I'll get down. Lord Jesus, thank you that you didn't just call me, you didn't just call one or two others, but you called us to be the church, to be a group of gathered believers set apart by you, built on your cornerstone, that we would always recognize our individuality, but know that together we are enhanced because of that, that your community of gathered people shows more of who you are when we work together, when we are together, when we know where our strengths lie and we know the strengths of the others around us. Lord God, I just pray that you would encourage us, you would continue to help us as we journey this, and that we would continue to do everything that we can to show our world what it is to be a gathered church for your glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.